brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome to Food for the Journey. I'm very struck the way the dates are this year, that here we are in the week immediately preceding the great feast of Pentecost, and right in the middle of that week today, we have the great feast of the Visitation. And I am just struck by the beauty of the Blessed Mother and her obedience to God, her willingness to do what God asks, even though it totally changes her life from anything she ever thought. Be it done unto me according to thy word. Be it done unto me. And here she is, pregnant now, with all the ramifications of that. And then she hears about her cousin Elizabeth, who's been barren for years, who's suddenly pregnant with John the Baptist, we now know. And what does Mary do? She thinks of her cousin before herself. She could be, she is dealing with the realization that she's going to be the mother of the Messiah, and she's trying to put all that together in her head. In a certain way, we could say, well, I'm just too busy to think of anybody else right now. But look what Mary did. She went on a journey, and it was not an easy journey, brothers and sisters, on a donkey. She went on a journey to visit her cousin Elizabeth, and she stayed with her for a while. I wonder sometimes what they shared. Elizabeth knew that she was carrying a child that had to have come from God. And it is Elizabeth who, when she saw Mary, recognized who Mary was carrying. What a moment that must have been, which said that Elizabeth was praying. She was praying in preparation for birth. She was caught up in God. And so when she sees Mary, she recognizes. It astonishes me, and you can hear me kind of faltering over my words. It just astonishes me that these two women, who both of them called to play a significant part in God's plan, were docile to God. They were teachable. They were moldable. I don't know what I would have done. Yes, they received great grace. Yes. But still, take a look at this visitation, that Mary goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth, who is now pregnant, older than Mary. She goes to care for her. How God blesses when you and I reach out in charity to the needs of others. First reading today is taken from the prophet Zephaniah, chapter 3, verses 14 to 18. Shout for joy, O daughter Zion. Sing joyfully, O Israel. Be glad and exult with all your heart, O daughter Jerusalem. The Lord has removed the judgment against you. He has turned away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You have no further misfortune to fear. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear not, O Zion, be not discouraged. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty Savior. He will rejoice over you with gladness and renew you in his love. He will sing joyfully because of you, as one sings at festivals. These are words of glory and joy and hope. And it's a passage that is very appropriate for this feast, because through Mary's assent to the angel who came to her, and her care of Elizabeth, who's carrying John the Baptist, God was preparing a plan that no man could have conceived of, that he would send us a Messiah to deliver us. And he prepared Elizabeth to bear John, who would be the precursor, the one who would go before the Messiah to announce his coming. Sing for joy, because God has provided for us a way out of eternal death. Think about that. And then we wanted to get rid of him 33 years later. Man, human beings apart from God are obstinate, stubborn creatures. and we're bent on self, self, self. And then God uses two beautiful women, Elizabeth and Mary, our mother. She's our mother. She's our mother too. May we rejoice in her ascent. May we rejoice in her ascent. And may we ask her to pray for us, that we may say yes to God and to the things that God asks of us, as she did. Paul to the Romans, chapter 12, verses 9 to 16. Brothers and sisters, let love be sincere. Hate what is evil. Hold on to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Anticipate one another in showing honor. Do not grow slack in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Endure in affliction. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the holy ones. Exercise hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Have the same regard for one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Here's the reading of Paul. Paul knows now, clearly, as he's given his life to Christ, he knows how important it is that we be sincere in our love, that our hatred is reserved to what is evil. Not hating all kinds of people, but hate the evil and pray for those who persecute us. God can work through that. Anticipate one another in showing honor. Do not grow slack in zeal. God's asking us to follow him with our whole heart, to use our time, our talents, our energy, our resources, whatever they be, that the kingdom of God may be proclaimed, truly proclaimed, by people whose hearts are on fire, by people who are saying, I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. Use me, Lord. Those are the people you want to gather with. And even in your own town, your own city, your own area, Lord, what would you have us do here in this area? Don't look across the country, first of all. You can learn from people all over the country, but make your target right where you are. What am I called to do here? How can I be a disciple? How can I bring your presence to people here who walk in darkness? You can't judge it because you don't know everything, but you can see that people may be far from the Lord. What are you asking of me, Lord? Don't say, oh, that's up to the priests, that's up to the sisters. Yes, we have particular roles to play, absolutely, but so do you. You need the power of the Holy Spirit. The responsorial psalm, among you is the great and holy one of Israel. God indeed is my Savior. I am confident and unafraid. My strength and my courage is the Lord, and he has been my Savior. With joy you will draw water at the fountain of salvation. Give thanks to the Lord. Acclaim his name. Among the nations make known his deeds. Proclaim how exalted is his name. That's a marvelous set of verses from Isaiah 12. Ponder them. Ask God to give you the grace to live them out, that your strength and your courage may be from the Lord. That's the best source of strength and courage, is from the Lord himself. What does God want of you? Luke chapter 1, verses 39 to 56. Mary set out and traveled to the hill country in haste to a town of Judah, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the infant leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, cried out in a loud voice and said, "Most blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." That's a prophetic gift right there. She recognizes it when she sees Mary. What an awesome moment. Most blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how does this happen to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For at the moment the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the infant in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed are you who believed that what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled. And Mary's response is the most beautiful hymn of praise. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on his lowly servant. From this day all generations will call me blessed. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. Notice that Mary is pointing everything to the Lord. He's the source of it all. He has mercy on those who fear him in every generation. He has shown the strength of his arm. He has scattered the proud in their conceit. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones. He has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has come to the help of his servant Israel, for he has remembered his promise of mercy, the promise he made to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his children forever. Forever. I can't imagine that moment when Elizabeth and Mary meet and they recognize that's only supernaturally, but they recognize that they're both caught up in the plan of God, that they're both going to bear sons that play the absolute pivotal role and a very pivotal role. Jesus and John the Baptist, they both play incredible roles for the salvation of God's people. And these two women, humble, simple, recognize. And it's the Spirit who prays through them. It's the Spirit who gives them the words. He has come to the help of his servant Israel, for he has remembered his promise of mercy. I will have mercy upon you. Repent. I will have mercy upon you. The promise he made to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his children forever. And Mary remained with her about 3 months and then returned to her home. She remained with her to help her. Mary put herself in second place to help someone older, someone more in need. She didn't say, "Oh, I am the mother of the Messiah. I am privileged." She didn't say that at all. She didn't even think that. We would, wouldn't we? Many of us. Because our pride is so strong and we take everything to ourself. But Mary says, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord." She looks to him. He's the source of all that is good. Let's ask our Blessed Mother to help us, to help us to say yes and walk in humility with Jesus. God bless you. As you listen to these programs, you can see areas of your own life that need to change, and I want to offer you a free copy of my booklet, The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. It's great joy, brothers and sisters. Don't miss it. 1-800-282-4789 for a free copy of my booklet, The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. Again, 1-800-282-4789.